Welcome to this in-depth review. Today we're looking closely at robotic assistance in knee surgery.
That's right, specifically for cementless total knee replacements, or TKAs.
And the big question is, does using a robot actually lead to, well, better outcomes, fewer early problems?
Exactly. You know, the premise seems solid. Robots might give surgeons more precise bone cuts, better implant sizing maybe?
Which, for cementless knees, you'd think is crucial.
Right. The idea is that super accurate fit helps the bone grow right onto the implant osseointegration. Less micromotion, so less loosening.
And hopefully fewer revision surgeries early on. That's the theory, anyway.
Like the theory.
So let's just quickly touch on why cementless TKA is gaining traction again.
Well, it's particularly interesting for potentially younger patients, more active ones, maybe even obese patients.
We get to that direct bone ingrowth idea, potentially longer lasting.
Yeah, potentially. Though historically, early cementless designs did have some issues with, well, loosening. Micromotion was a problem.
But newer designs, materials, they're trying to tackle that.
Precisely. And that's where technique comes in. It's arguably even more critical for cementless than cemented.
Because there's no cement filler to sort of fudge the gap.
Exactly. You need that really precise initial fit. So the argument for robots is partly about achieving that consistency, maybe leveling the playing field between surgeons.
Okay. So the core question, based on data from the American Joint Replacement Registry, the AJRR.
Which is huge, the largest registry globally.
Right. Based on a study looking at that data, does robotic assistance actually decrease the odds of needing an early revision for a cementless knee?
Yeah, that's what this study aimed to find out.
So what did they look at? Who was in the study?
Okay, so they focused on patients 65 and older. These were primary cementless TKAs, meaning both the femur and tibia components were cementless.
Yes, hybrids then.
No hybrids. The time frame was January 2017 to March 2020, and it's a big cohort.
How big are we talking?
Over 9,000 patients. 9,220 to be exact.
Right.
And quite a split, about 45% have robotic assistance.
Wow, okay. And they controlled for things, right? Like the surgeon, the hospital.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Surgeon, institution, patient age, gender, and comorbidities using the Charlson Index. They tried to account for those background factors.
So the moment of truth. What were the overall revision rates at 2 years?
Well, they were actually pretty low in both groups, which is good news overall for cementless TKA in this age group.
Okay.
For the robotic-assisted group, the two-year revision rate was 1.2%.
And non-robotic?
Very similar, 1.3%.
Huh. So almost identical.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. And crucially, after they adjusted for all those factors we mentioned, surgeon, hospital, patient health, etc.
Yeah.
There was no statistically significant difference in the odds of having any kind of revision surgery at 2 years.
No difference at all.
Statistically speaking, no. The odds ratio was 0.8. But the confidence interval, you know, the range of uncertainty, went from 0.5 up to 1.3.
And the p-value?
p 0.41. So well above the usual threshold for significance. It means you can't really say the robot made a difference to the overall early revision rate here.
That's quite something, given the premise about accuracy. Did they look at why people needed revisions? Like, did the robot help with specific problems, maybe loosening?
Yeah, they drilled down into that, looked at aseptic loosening, that's loosening without infection, infection itself, instability, and pain as reasons for revision.
And any signal there?
Well, for infection, the odds ratio was 1.5, slightly higher in the robotic group, but again, not statistically significant. P-value was 0.19.
Okay. What about loosening? That's the one you'd really expect the robot to help with.
Right. But the odds ratio for mechanical loosening was actually 3.2 higher in the robotic group.
Higher, really?
Yeah. But, and this is really important, it also didn't reach statistical significance. The confidence interval was wide, 0.8 to 12, and the p-value was 0.09.
So it trended higher, but you can't definitively say the robot caused more loosening based on this data.
Exactly. It's a trend, maybe a concerning one, but not statistically proven here after adjustments.
Mm.
So the expected benefit for loosening just didn't show up in this early look.
Does this line up with other research? What else do we know?
It's surely consistent with some previous work the same group did, looking at all TKAs, not just cementless.
Okay.
And they mentioned a single surgeon study that also found similar revision rates for cemented versus cementless when using robots.
Interesting.
Plus, other big registry studies looking out longer, like 9 or 10 years, suggest that overall survivorship for cemented and cementless TKAs isn't dramatically different anyway.
So if the robot's potentially better accuracy isn't translating into fewer early revisions for cementless, It really begs the question, what else is driving success or failure?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The study authors themselves point this out. It's likely not just about the cuts.
Like what? What other factors?
Well, the specific method of cementless fixation could matter. There isn't just one way to do it. Different implants have different coatings, different porous structures.
Sorry, how the bone actually grows in.
Exactly. And the materials used in the implant itself. The alloys, the plastic components.
And the articulation, the moving parts.
Absolutely. The bearing surfaces, how they wear over time. That's huge for long-term survival. Maybe less so for these very early revisions, but still relevant.
And maybe just different implant systems behave differently.
That's possible too. They noted that their findings for pain and instability as reasons for revision were a bit different in this cementless-only study compared to their earlier one that included cemented knees. So yeah, it's complex.
Definitely sounds like it's more than just getting the cuts millimeter perfect.
It seems that way, based on this evidence.
Now, every study has limitations. What are the key ones to keep in mind here?
Sure. Well, it relies on registry data, the AJRR. So there's always a chance of missing data. Maybe a revision happened at a hospital that doesn't report to the registry.
Though they tried to mitigate that with the Medicare linkage for the over 65s.
They did, which helps.
Yeah.
But still, a big issue was that for about 42% of the cementless TKAs in the registry during that time, they didn't know if a robot was used or not.
Wow. 42% excluded. That's a lot.
It is. That missing information could potentially skew things, though it's hard to say how.
And the follow-up is only 2 years minimum.
Right. That's pretty early. It won't capture longer-term issues like polyethylene wear or osteolysis bone loss around the implant. Those tend to show up later.
What about bias in how the data is collected?
There's potential for cluster sampling bias because data comes grouped by surgeon or hospital. They use specific statistical methods, mixed effects models, to try and account for that grouping.
And crucially, this was only in patients 65 and older.
A very important point. Cementless is often picked for younger people, and this study doesn't tell us about them. Their activity levels, their demands on the knee, it could be a different story.
And the learning curve for robotics.
Also mentioned is a limitation. They couldn't control for how experienced a surgeon was with the robot. Someone just starting out might not get the same results as an expert user.
Okay, so pulling it all together, what's the main message from this in-depth review of the AJRR data for surgeons, for patients?
The bottom line, based on this large data set, is that robotic assistance didn't seem to reduce the risk of needing revision surgery within the first 2 years for cementless knee replacements in patients over 65.
So the precision benefits, while potentially real from a technical standpoint,
aren't necessarily translating into better early implant survival in this specific context.
So surgeons probably need to be careful about setting expectations.
I think so. Manage patient expectations about what robotics can and can't promise, especially regarding this early revision risk for cementless knees. The benefits might lie elsewhere, perhaps in patient-reported outcomes, function, or maybe longer-term survival not captured here.
Which points towards future research, right? What's needed next?
Definitely. The authors call for high-quality prospective studies, ones that follow patients forward, really track not just revisions, but how patients feel pain, function.
And live longer-term.
Absolutely. And, crucially, include younger patients, since that's a key group getting cementless implants now. We need ongoing data collection, long-term surveillance.
Okay, so to wrap up this review, robotic technology, it holds promise for precision, no doubt. But this major registry study doesn't show it cutting down early revision rates for cementless knees compared to traditional methods, at least not yet, or not in this group.
That seems to be the case. Factors beyond just the bone cuts, fixation methods, materials, maybe the implant design itself, are clearly very important for cementless TKA success.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener.
Yeah. Given these findings, where should we really be focusing our research and development efforts to improve the long-term outcomes of cementless knees? If it's not just about robotic cut accuracy, what is the most critical area, and how can technology best support those advancements?
Something to think about. Thanks for joining us for this in-depth review as we continue to explore these evolving technologies in joint replacement.